Welcome to Inside CTOX Podcast. I'm Donna, Head of Membership and Partnership, and today we're stepping inside the minds of some of the most innovative tech leaders out there. This isn't just a podcast. It's a place where CTO journeys come alive, where stories of struggles, breakthroughs, and growths unfold. We're here to unpack the experiences of real CTOs navigating through our CTOX Accelerator and Membership Program. So sit back, tune in. Let's get into the story. Welcome to another episode of the Inside CTOX podcast. Today, I'd like to introduce you to George, a powerhouse of transformation in tech. From leading enterprise-level digital overhauls in the real estate sector to helping companies unlock real value through strategic innovation, George has a knack for making big, complex shifts feel seamless. But what makes him truly stand out within the CTOX tribe? Since joining CTOX, George has been orchestrating something quite special and something that most tech leaders could only dream of. He is relocating his entire family to Spain, all while keeping a fully operational, globally connected business thriving. Proof that freedom and high performance can go hand in hand. Welcome, George.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
So Spain, wow, that's a big move.
Yeah, definitely.
Are you excited?
I'm super excited. We still live in Europe when I was growing up, way back in the day. And so I've got a taste for, you know, what that life is like. It's totally different. And I'm just looking forward to just having the family immersed in the culture there and just... Yeah. You know, kick back on the beach and enjoy life out there.
That's fantastic. You're going to have a lot of jealous listeners, just even the idea of it. Fantastic. So thank you for sharing your journey. Thinking back to before joining CTOX, what was happening in your career or your life at that time that just made joining CTOX feel like the right move?
Yeah, it's a good, thoughtful question. So before I joined the program, I was actually just trying, like I knew what I wanted to do and I knew what it kind of looked like in, you know, in the grand scheme of things. I didn't know that there was like an actual name for, you know, what I wanted to do. And so, you know, before joining the program, really, I was just trying to figure out how to, you know, put the jigsaw piece to, you know, together. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just coming straight off of leaving corporate, I had since 2012 been working for a major organization handling product management and strategy on that side. And so, you know, I knew that there was a lot of empirical wisdom that, you know, that I could leverage and, you know, in my, you know, expertise in real estate and how much of an opportunity there was. I knew there was a way to help people. And so, you know, I would grab this strategy, I would grab this framework and try to, you know, create like this smorgasbord. And, you know, it you know, for some folks it made sense, but like there needed to be structure. And a buddy of mine actually had said, hey, check out this link. You know, it sounds like it's right up your alley. And so, you know, I was reading up the, you know, the front page and I was like, holy cow, like this is screaming my name. Like I need to check it out. You know, set up a session with the team there and got onboarded. You know, I think it was the next day. So.
Oh, so you're a quick start. Oh, good. We like that.
Yeah.
So, talk to me about real estate. Where did that come from? Is that a family thing? Is that local to you? How did you get into real estate?
Good question. So, I have always been business minded, right? I've tried, you know, ever since I was a teenager, try to, you know, come up with new ideas, new ways to make money and, you know, just try to, you know, make a good and cool business. And, you know, real estate was, you know, always at the top of the list for, you know, passive income and income generating. And, you know, it was just it was a keystone for really how to build wealth in a lot of the area that I was interested in. And so, you know, At first I was looking at real estate from the lens of like an acquisitions piece. Like I would actually buy the real estate, I would be making the deals. And although I can, my expertise aligned more on the tech side. And so because a lot of the people in real estate, a large part of my network wanted to do the talking, wanted to do the relationship building and whatnot, but didn't have any framework behind it, I was like, heck yeah, like I've got an answer for you. This is what you do. And these are, you know, the dots that you connect. And so it just kind of naturally grew into this, you know, wild, wild ride that,
that we bring here today. That's fantastic. Yeah. So, you know, when we think about real estate, that's not a tech, it doesn't seem like, at least it's a tech focused industry. So, you know, for the listeners thinking, oh my God, what are you even going to do in technology for real estate? Give us a little bit of an overview of the type of tech you work with.
Yeah, definitely. So you hit a really good nail on the head, because there are very specific industries, real estate included, who are just incredibly slow to adopt technology. And a lot of the success from real estate comes from just honestly from the older folks who just have tougher skin and was able to, you know, weather the storms, or they have capital to, you know, to be able to have that kind of cushion. And so when you've got these older folks or these, you know, startups or entrepreneurs who are just used to just like, you know, pounding out elbow grease to get a deal done, nobody's, you know, everybody's got a spreadsheet, a Google spreadsheet, or, you know, a back of the napkin that they're using. And so, you know, being able to come in and say, hey, this is how you should structure your CRM. These are the automations that you should be plugging in into your pipeline. The ideal end state for this whole thing is like, I want for you to have an easy button, like a big red easy button. You just push the button and just watch stuff happen, watch the magic and automations and all that fun bot stuff, you know, kind of just take place and really just, you know, automate as much as we can for the business. And that's really where I come in, is, you know, helping out business owners automate their processes, organize their pipeline so that it's more effective, more purpose driven, implementing, you know, AI where we can. Mm-hmm. And you know, just helping, you know, folks who are kind of later in the game to, you know, to stay up front and make sure, you know, I'm tagging them along in this crazy space of ours.
Later in the game, that's a great phrase.
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about, you know, you're one of the younger members in CTOX, I hope you don't mind me saying. So how do you, as this young, cool guy, face up against these guys who are later in the game? Like, what approach do you take?
Luckily, I've got a pretty solid network. And so the word of mouth has spread pretty quickly about my skill set. And so luckily, I don't have too much of an issue when it comes to saying, hey, here's what I can do, because everybody knows, at least in my network, what I could do. There are a lot of new faces that come across my desk. And, you know, I have my hat backwards, I've got tattoos, and, you know, I wear t-shirts and, you know, running shorts sometimes. And that's who I am. And it doesn't matter, you know, how I dress or what I look like. If I can change the game for you and move the needle in some unbelievable ways and just create magic for your organization, I mean, at the end of the day, that's all that counts, right? It doesn't matter, you know, how young I might look. Mm-hmm. What, mind you, I am trying to grow a little bit of some,
you
know.
You think that's going to make you look more older, more distinguished?
I tried growing it out, but it looks ridiculous.
It looks good so far. What you've done so far, it looks good. So, you know, we talk a lot in the C2X about like leadership. So, you know, it's just not always being about the smartest guy in the room. So what has been some of the leadership tactics that you've used?
A lot of the leadership tactics that I use are really just, like, I mean, kind of aligned to what you said, right? Just like acknowledging the fact that you don't know everything, and just trusting in my own abilities and my own skill set, and knowing and being confident in what I know, which is a lot. but, you know, coming from corporate, there were so many different personalities, so many different people that I had to get along with, shake hands with, and kind of put a fake smile on. Like I've gone through, different situations and even challenging times trying to get through from, on the people side, but it's really helped mold me to be able to service a very wide spectrum of different folks. Right. And so when you come to these leaders, whether it's a fast talker, black and white kind of guy, or if it's a slow talker who just likes to kind of, spend the next 20 minutes talking about grandma's potato salad, like there's a way for you to just, make sure that, like, as a leader, here's what we're going to do together. Cause it's not just like the way that I look at leadership is less about me being the expert, right? Like not to toot my horn, but like I know a lot of stuff, right? But I don't ever want to be framed as the expert, because a lot of times what ends up happening is when a business owner sees an expert come on board, what tends to happen is they're like, okay, so you know everything and you probably should help run the business, right? Like, what should I do now? Does this, like, should we do this? Like, and it's a collaboration thing, right? That leadership is ensuring that the integrity of what we're, coming in and shaking hands together on is a collaborative effort. And so being able to just, come together, say, we have different unique ways of contributing effort. Here's how I'm going to do it. Here's what I expect out of you. And, we just have that conversation, and it's really, really been beneficial, with that approach.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. And you seem to be like just staying very true to you and humble, if you don't mind me saying. How important is that kind of staying who you are in this kind of crazy world that we're in right now?
Yeah. So for me, with my analytical brain, like I have to stay true to who I am, because like when I put on that face, or when I put on the extra smile that doesn't, like, when it doesn't feel right, like I feel like it's a lie. Like I feel like I'm lying to myself. And then, when I meet with, I get into an engagement with these business owners, I don't like to portray myself in any way, just being naturally who I am, standing on my own values and my own moral beliefs and my own ethics. And, just standing in that space, knowing who I am, that just, I think that in itself inherently allows for that, some of that confidence to come out. And, it's relatable. It's very people person to me, because that's how I connect. When I pretend to know something, or if I pretend to do anything in any way, like I need to be able to fill in space. Like even like, so when I first started off, like, onboarding calls and discovery calls and whatnot, I had to have a script, and and understanding that like a lot of these folks don't, like, they can tell you're reading the script, right? And so being able to like naturally engage and be able to answer questions honestly, and without getting caught off guard, and they ask a question I wasn't really prepared for, like that's the kind of stuff that was like, oh man, like what am I doing? I have to reevaluate like who I am, who, what kind of service I'm providing, what I'm offering out there. And so just making a decision, figuring out, what it is I want to do, who I want to serve, who I want to be, who do I want to become, who do I need to, bring in to help me grow, what do I need to forego to, have those things happen for me? Like, they're all decisions that I have to make internally for myself, and that stuff really does speak volumes.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you for sharing that. So let me ask you this. As a technologist, a leader, and a father about to move to a whole new world, what does freedom look like to you now as compared to maybe 10 years ago?
It's a good question. 10 years ago, let's see, 10 years ago, I was a guy who just wanted to do well. And I didn't really even have that part figured out. Like, I knew that, like, there's a lot of George in here, and George has a lot to offer. And so I didn't know like how that part would evolve or what would unfold before me. And so what's crazy is everything that I've done, like everything that I've wanted ever since I was little, I've always imagined me just like, you know, if I wanted a Mustang, I would imagine, you know, the Mustang parked out in front of the house. If I wanted a house, I'd imagine literally the house that I live in now. I actually, the previous owners probably thought it was a little creepy, but I knew that this house was for sale in the neighborhood that I've always wanted as a kid. The house was for sale. I parked in the driveway and I imagined like, oh, this is me coming home. I didn't live there. Wow. I live somewhere else entirely different, but long story short, bought the house. And so back, you know, 10 years ago, I knew that when I was going to be in my 30s, I was going to be successful. I was going to have my own business. I was going to have my own money. I was going to have my own freedom. And so call it manifestation, call it, you know, whatever you want, but you know, it's all about just, you know, making the choice and, you know, really just acknowledging the fact that like the things that you talk about with yourself really do matter, right? And so I guess in another way to say, like, my manifestation now is being out there in Europe, being out there in Spain, and I imagine me and my daughter riding a bike on the beach and, you know, just enjoying walking the cobblestone streets with my wife and just having, you know, tapas and wine and going to the wine country, going to Paris and going to Italy for my birthday. Like, these are all things that I've made up in my mind, have an actual scene in my movie, and it's all a matter of time. And so that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm just creating those stories for myself and for my family today.
Wow. That's amazing. Wow. Oh, I'm really, yeah, I can see that as you're talking about it, I can visualize that. Yeah. I'm sure it's so much more clearer than you. And that's a wonderful, like, what a journey to go on from kind of where you were, to kind of where you are now and what you can do with that. You know, in CTOX, we see a lot of this like transformation shift. You know, they come in almost like one person and then, you know, 6 months later, they feel like a completely different person. What part of the process within that CTOX accelerator did you really take the most from in terms of that transformation?
I think for me, it was, and it might sound cliche, but it was very hold the vision, trust the process. Mm-hmm. A lot of the things that were, because like you join CTOX and they literally tell you exactly what you need to do. And so for me, it was like, I would find ways to call it self-sabotage. I don't know what you want to call it, but like, I don't know if I want to go with this vendor. I don't know if I should do this. Should I work on this part? And so just being able to say like, okay, let me just go through this and see, you know, how this evolves and how I can make it mine over time, for me has been the biggest thing, is because, you know, when I have someone to help guide me, you know, whether it's the community, whether it's the Slack, whether it's Leo or Marisa or you, whoever, you know, whatever wizard comes on in our
wizard,
it's been incredibly helpful. And just trusting you guys, honestly, it's like there was a book that I read, I forgot which one it was, but essentially all it was saying was like, when it comes to real estate, for example, you could figure it out on your own, but if you know someone who's got a strategy that works, just try it out. And so yes, that's kind of the way I've adopted how I, you know, stepped forward into this thing, is just like, there's a strategy here, let me just trust the experts here. Mm-hmm. See what happens. And yeah, I had no problem making it mine, but yeah, it was just kind of following the steps.
I think that's it. I think you've just nailed it there. It's just like, you know, follow the steps and then make it your own. It's mm-hmm. like everybody's on a different journey, so everybody's interpreting this in a slightly different way. And I think that's what's so exciting when you see the community. You have such wide range of people just from every possible background. Even though the one thing in common, they're all CTOs, but just from such a different array of experiences, and they can all use the same proven processes, but making it their own. And I think that's a real exciting thing. So last question before the last question. If you could pass down one lesson to the next generation of CTOs coming up fast behind you, what would be your one piece of advice be?
If I could choose one, it would really be about just, I think most important is how you show up. Mm-hmm. And that means so many different things for me. It's like how you show up to your calls, how you show up to the client, how you show up for your family, how you show up for yourself. It's important because there are so many things that we hold so much importance to that just don't matter. Mm. Like they don't even matter. And so, you know, just being able to acknowledge the fact that, you know, you've got people that look up to you. How you show up is incredibly important because it means everything. And to be able to show up as your best self. And I think that there's a lot that comes from being able to do that. Like you give yourself grace, you give yourself, you know, permission to be who you are. You give yourself the ability to, you know, manage your day to day a lot better. You know, when you know who you are, you can show up authentically in a way that's just relatable. It's connectable. It feels good. It feels good inside, and it's extremely purpose driven.
Well, thank you. That's great advice, and you clearly live that advice. I can, you know, I speak from experience on that. Yeah. Okay, our last question, and this is you don't know anything about this, but we've done this on the other podcast, and it's been so much fun. So I'm gonna ask ChatGPT right here live a question, a thought-provoking question, and you have to answer it regardless of what it is. Are you ready for the challenge?
Let's go.
Okay, so let me just bring out ChatGPT. There we go. Okay. Hello, ChatGPT. We love a bit of spontaneity, so we thought, who better to challenge us than AI? What question would you like to ask a fractional CTO at this exact moment in time? Okay. It's thinking. Okay. This is an interesting one for you. Okay. If your next client project had zero budget, but infinite trust, what would you build? And what would it reveal about how you truly want to lead?
That is a great question.
That might be the best question we've had yet.
I'll be honest.
I know you've had experience with zero budgets.
Yes, so yes, it's a good one for you. Yeah. I think to the two biggest things that stick out to me are alignment and boundaries. I think that when you form a really great relationship with an individual and, like, you know, just everything they do just is super aligned to, like, everything that you, you know, stand for, it's easy to say, let me help you out. And especially for those who are just starting out, who don't know how to, like, you know, snag a multi-figure retainer. You know, sometimes we kind of don't have a choice to, you know, kind of prove ourselves before, you know, that door to that gate is completely open. So, you know, when it comes to doing free work, for me, it's like, I'm going to still give everything. And literally just 2 days ago, I had a really, really great friend, and he's telling me about this really, really amazing business idea. And I'm like, heck yeah, that sounds so cool. And so he's like, you know, tell me what it would take to bring you on board. you know, I'm kind of cash strapped right now. I was like, okay, well, totally understand. I'll tell you what, let me just organize some notes. Let me come up with a, you know, 30, 60, 90 day plan, put a real solid action plan together. Let's put it in front of us, see what that looks like. And then you tell me, you know, if we should have a conversation about doing business together. And so, you know, I had spent a couple hours getting everything together, and gladly, because for me, it's like, I don't want to do something halfway, right? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. And so, you know, just being able to stamp my name on it, I gave it my full effort. And, you know, later on that evening, packaged it all together for him and said, what do you think? And he's like, oh, it looks solid. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Here's what a retainer looks like. And so, ultimately he decided, he was like, you know what, here's what I'm going to do instead. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, you know, it's perfectly okay. Like, I'm totally, you know, fine with that. Like, you put it out there in the universe, you better make it happen. Yeah. And, you know, it's, if I didn't have any other thing and anything else to do, yeah, I'd love to, like, okay, let's spin something up together. But, you know, there's a lot on my plate right now, and I got to make sure that I'm stewarding, you know, my family's trust, my time, and, you know, just being able to make the right kind of choices. And a lot of times with boundaries, it's like, when you establish the boundaries for yourself, like, you're going to have to say no to a lot of stuff you probably might've kind of bent a little backwards for before, but by establishing those boundaries, when they're confronted, nobody really likes it. It's always like this kind of, it's kind of like a weird kind of like nasty feeling, but like, you're able to walk away with, I mean, your dignity, you're able to walk away with your professionalism. You're able to walk away with just, again, going back to who you are, being able to stand tall, and honestly, just, you know, exercising those boundaries, saying no to like the smaller projects or saying no to the free work. You do that enough times, you're going to have 20 clients at $200 a pop, and you're going to go crazy. I've been there. You know? And so, saying no to those kinds of things and allowing the space for my capacity to be allotted to what I'm here to do has allowed me to take on the clients that I want to work with, who are able to pay the kind of tickets that I'm charging for and whatnot. So, that's it.
Stay true. Mm-hmm. I think that's been the one thing I've seen from you over and over again, is like, stay true to who you are. Stay true to the, regardless of what the project is, regardless of what the client or the budget or what have you, staying true is what's going to keep you right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Great. Well, George, thank you so much. This has been so much fun. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for sharing your journey, your insight, your wisdom. So much wisdom at such a young age. We're blessed to have you. So thank you very much, and we'll see you again soon.
Absolutely. See ya.
Stories, experiences, and advice you hear today are incredibly valuable, not just for CTOs, but for the broader tech community and leaders. To our listeners, thanks for tuning in to Inside CTOX. Don't forget to follow us on social media, tag us, and share your favorite insights from the episode. We love hearing your feedback. Make sure to subscribe and check in again for our next episode, where we'll continue to explore the stories behind the tech leaders shaping the future. Until next time.